Hello everyone, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. This time, we're going to tackle something you have probably seen online or in golf news, and maybe on your own course. You may even have one of these yourself. And this thing has caused quite a bit of controversy in golf and beyond. So, let's get started. Oh, it's the drama. It's the intrigue. It's the scandal. No, this is not your most recent episode of your favorite show on Netflix. And no, it's not the juicy summer novel that you're taking with you on your next beach vacation. It's actually the hoodie. Yes, the hoodie. H-O-O-D-I-E. Hoodie. And it's caused quite a stir on the golf scene. Hoodies, in this case, I'd like to just straight out define this because, you know, as professors, that's where we start. You have to define something. But hoodies, in this case, we're going to define it as a sweatshirt with a hood attached. And they, you know, they've been adorned by a few male and female professional players during tournament play recently. And when they did, it caught the attention of a lot of folks in golf circles, and all of a sudden blogs and articles and commentaries were written about this seemingly fairly innocent garment. You may have heard some of the people say, oh, it's not appropriate for the golf course. Others say, well, it depends on the fabric. Is it, you know, a sweatshirty, terry type of thing? Is it made out of something a little more athletic? You know, that type of thing. Some even question how, in the world of golf, how can golf survive if such things are even allowed on the golf course? You know, they'll say, oh, if we allow hoodies, then where's it all going to stop, right? Well, why the uproar? And why would a fashion item have such an impact on the golf world? They still haven't stopped talking about it, have they? Well, to fully understand the problem, in my opinion, we need to step back a little bit. We need to step back into hoodie history. Now, hoodies first appeared technically in ancient Greece. They have some, you know, documentation that this has happened and some the history that is there. But they were also, fast forward, quite common in medieval Europe around the 12th century. And monks, you've probably seen pictures where monks wore garments with a hood attached to their robes. Now, fast forward again to modern times where the apparel brand Champion, you may know that brand, they manufactured the hooded sweatshirt in the 1930s. And the main reason that they did that was for laborers and athletes, you know, to shield them from the harsh elements which they both worked and performed. You know, but as time moved on, the hoodie became mainstream fashion. Now, one of the reasons that it did is you may remember the Rocky movies from the 1970s or the hip-hop culture of the 1990s. And then maybe finally with the high-end luxury brands. And they produced catwalk versions, high in fashion, you know, for hundreds of dollars, and they were sweatshirts, they were hoodies. But even with all this success, the hoodie certainly has a controversial past. As time has gone on, hoodies became associated with a negative stereotype and these sinister types of inferences. Hoodies became correlated even with criminal activity. And one of the references or the academic studies that I've read about with hoodies, and yes, they are out there. There are studies on hoodies. The hoodie became a garment with connotations such as, and I'll put quotes around this word, frightening, and another one, quote, moral decay. This is from a 2017 academic study. The garment, you know, the hoodie became a symbol of the dark side of human nature, of corruption, a value system that was not conducive for common good. And it even got to the point, believe it or not, and you may have seen some of this where you live, such as malls, you know, places like that, they prohibited hoodies. And laws were proposed in different countries which would outlaw them in certain public places. Some of that probably still stands today, but not everything, made it. They weren't able to pass some of those. But for context, let's look at this in a bigger picture. You know, outcry over specific articles of clothing, you know, and we've seen this many times before. And one that came to my mind when I was thinking about this is certainly the corset. And this garment has an amazing story, an amazing history, which encompasses everything from it being a fashion necessity all the way to the cultural revolution of women's rights. And the corset was extremely controversial during its time, no question about it. It produced opinions such as, you know, fashion faux pas. If a woman leaves the house without one, then oh my goodness. But it also was seen as, later on, a health hazard, of course, because it messed up your insides, and you shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, there's other controversies that women have dealt with over time, and fashion controversies, one of them being wearing pants. And, you know, I have to give a shout out to the great movie star Katharine Hepburn on that, for she was a golfer and she wore pants to golf in. But other things like bloomers or bobbed hair in the 1920s, it was short and that was just such a big deal. Bikinis, high heels, and even today, leggings. We've seen some controversy around the legging. We can say that for golf too, right? That took a little while to get leggings on the golf course, but they're mainstream now. You know, each one of these items have a fashion, they have a culture, and they have a meaning. They each have a story of their own. And yeah, some of these items of clothing still have some negative perceptions to this day, and they still cause a stir many times. Therefore, you know, when hoodies made their way to the golf course, along came the perceptions. Those some of those negative perceptions marched right along with it. And, you know, some of these perceptions, though, were quite positive. After all, you know, high-end designers and fashion mainstream had accepted them a long time ago. But again, some of the negative perceptions followed the hoodie to the golf course. Now, I would argue the negative ones were pretty deep-seated and often settled in the subconscious. Now, this is the consumer behaviorist in me, and you know, a lot of times we have perceptions about all kinds of things, brands and, you know, all of that stuff, and they come from somewhere, and we learn those things. They are a learned behavior, and they come out as a perception. And attitudes about hoodies were much more than just a fashion statement. People were seeing the hoodie in a different way than just, oh, this is something somebody's wearing, that they have an attitude about this particular garment. And some of these negative perceptions was a value-based cultural bias, in my opinion. And we have to ask the question at this point, hasn't golf grappled with this cultural bias before? Or hasn't it dealt with other forms of discrimination, you know, including gender-based or economic? The hoodie is more than just a piece of clothing, really. It's a symbol of culture. And that symbol of culture, at least the negative perceptions, made the golf community very, very uncomfortable. And that's probably why we saw so much controversy. That's why we saw people saying, this is just not appropriate. Well, if you start digging a little bit deeper and you start peeling back the layers of the consumer behavior, then that's what we can possibly see. You know, a recent example where the hoodie was used extremely positively was the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association. And they had something called the Orange Hoodie Campaign. You might have seen it. And this hoodie was named the 2020 Best Fashion Statement of the Year by the Sport Business Journal. So that's really cool. It was the best, and still is as far as I know, the best-selling WNBA item ever. And it was a huge success as far as fulfilling the goal of promoting women's basketball and, of course, you know, women's sports in general. And numerous NBA players wore it. The men's NBA players wore it in support of their colleagues and fellow players. And due to this campaign, the Orange Hoodie campaign and other initiatives, of course, and women's basketball is enjoying an overall increase in viewership. So that's wonderful. And golf has gotten in on the act recently as well. You might have seen this. The new tie-dye LPGA, it's a unisex hoodie. It was released in April of 2021. And I think it caught him off guard a little bit because it sold out in 3 hours, which is amazing. If you hadn't heard about it, the LPGA player Michelle Wee West, she teamed up with LPGA to create this garment. And they wanted to create this mainly for two reasons. The first one was to increase awareness of women's sport, of course, right? And number two, to raise money for important charities. And those charities that are involved with this particular hoodie are to change the face of women's golf. They want to increase participation and representation, especially of girls of color. And even after the sellout in 3 hours, they restocked it and then it sold out again. But don't worry, they keep restocking. I check back every once in a while. But apparently, you know, people were hungry for some LPGA gear, and this certainly fit the bill and offer a good cause to boot. So that's wonderful. Now, if we start looking below the surface of, again, why the hoodie caused such a stir in golf, we can see it was more than just an opinion of what clothes are appropriate for the golf course. It's more of a long-standing perception and an attitude that is deeply seated in the consumer psyche, and certainly, as I said a moment ago, a learned behavior from other people, from whatever. And those consumers, those people, those golfers hold these attitudes deep within their memory. Again, sometimes this is very subconscious. Some people see the hoodie as a threat to traditional golf culture. Now, whether or not you agree with traditional golf culture, that's up to you. But some folks basically see a hoodie as a threat to the golf culture maybe that they've known for a long time. And some people see it just as a fashion statement. And some people, believe it or not, see it as a functional way to keep their head warm when they play in cooler temperatures. Now, ironically, and I'm not making this up, but ironically, as I'm talking here, I'm wearing my LPGA tie-dye hoodie. I didn't mean for that to happen, but I did. And I'm reminded, though, of what it stands for. And I'm reminded that nothing can change a culture quicker than fashion can. And I'm also reminded that golf clothing is now more than a collared shirt. And there's no question we'll continue to see hoodies being worn by professional players who choose to do so. Now, the same goes for regular players, you know, like me. You know, in fact, I wore a hoodie the other day when I played. Now, unfortunately, I didn't play as well as Danielle Kang did when she wore it, as the exact same hoodie. But that's okay. That's not going to happen, but that's okay anyway. It looked great, right? Clothing is historically a powerful form of communication. It's a powerful form of meaning. And the same is true today. No matter if we are ditching corsets or adorning a hoodie, golf culture is seeing a silent form of empowerment through clothing. So I guess all I can say to wind this up is, you know, quarter zip, you've got some company coming. It's already here. Watch out. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you'll take a moment to access talkinggolf.com, TalkingGolf.com, for a whole bunch of other golf podcasts I'm sure you're going to love. And you can email me at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com anytime. So until next time, if you see or when you see a golfer wearing a hoodie, think about the journey that that garment made, and it took a long time for it finally to get to the golf course. Talk to you soon, and remember, always go for the flag.